So, title of my message is Alive in Christ, and we're starting Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm super, super excited about this. It's such rich truth that we can all hold on to, and I pray that we all grow from that today. So let's start with praying. Father God in heaven, thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of the resurrection, that we are in Christ in the heavenlies, Father. And I pray for you would all, you give us all ears to hear the truth, that our identity is in you, that our value is in you, Lord Jesus. I pray for the encouragement. I even pray for conviction where need be. But Lord, I thank you that you will draw all of us closer to you today, that you will increase our faith today, and you will give us greater understanding and revelation of your truth, which is the word of God. I pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we've started the powerful, emotional, and eternally focused epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the church in Ephesus and the surrounding churches in Asia Minor. This was a floating letter. This epistle ministers specifically to who we are in Christ. King Jesus, the firstborn into the resurrected life in the heavenlies, his perfect sinless life and selfless sacrifice, literally laying down his life for us, is the glorious open door of salvation for the sinner. Paul repeats over and over again, it is by grace through faith in Christ that we are saved. Saved from what? Saved from God's wrath and eternal death. In chapter 1, Paul speaks of the believer being adopted, chosen, and elected in Christ before the earth was ever formed. He speaks of how everything, even as messed up as things are, will be brought to unity in Christ eventually. This is our great hope. Someday, ladies and gentlemen, everything will be perfect. In perfect unity, we will live with God. No sickness, no sadness, no sin or temptations to weigh us down. Just perfect life in perfect glory, in a perfect atmosphere with a perfect God. Also praise that the church would understand the power that comes with salvation. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in every believer. No man on earth and no devil in hell can thwart the plan that God has for your life. Amen. Paul emphatically encourages us to tap into our eternal inheritance now, to understand that we are forgiven of sin, that wisdom, revelation, understanding, and enlightenment to God's riches are ours right now. In part, yes, but guaranteed to be fulfilled and completed in his time. We pick it up today in chapter 2. Paul focuses on the resurrection. Christ is resurrected, therefore we have been resurrected in him. We were dead spiritually from birth, but now we are alive spiritually in Christ. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, Paul walks us through salvation past, present, and future. Today we will look at six aspects of salvation. Salvation is from sin, by love, into life, with purpose, through faith, and unto good works. So that's what we'll focus on today. Number one, salvation is from sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. See, we were DOA from birth because of the Adamic bloodline, right? Adam and Eve sinned. Therefore, they died spiritually and they would die physically. They were separated from God. And through ordinary generation, just people having babies, since they existed to now, that sin nature, that fallen nature is passed down to each and every human being on this planet. But if you're a Christian, if you're born again, this is your past. And if you're not, this is your present condition, to be dead in your transgressions and sins. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says this, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. The word for transgressions, the Greek word is peripatoma, and it means to stumble or fall away. The word for sins is hamartia, and it means to miss the target. It's a hunting term, to miss the target. So they're basically two different words talking about the same thing, and they're both plural. So this is Paul being very complete, like, all transgressions and all sin. Every time you fall away, every time you stumble, every time you miss the mark. And we were dead in those. We all have missed the mark of the glory. Because, well, you know, what's the mark that we're missing? The glory of God, the holiness of God, the perfection of God. God is holy and perfect and righteous. So I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 because Paul loves long sentences. Amen. So as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. See, I love the way Paul presents the gospel, and it's the way we should present the gospel. It's what's wrong and what's wrong, excuse me. What's wrong with us before we get saved, like the destitute, the absolute depravity that we are lost to. We're dead spiritually. We were born with that sin nature, separated from God. Now, in that, and if you can think about your life, you know, before Christ, and I know some of you have been saved a long time in this room, some of you haven't, but I know, your pastor knows the way I used to live before I got saved. And I followed the ways of this world. I bought into the ideologies of our culture. All I wanted to do was make sure that I was comfortable. Make sure that I got taken care of. I followed the ways of this world. That word for ways, the Greek word is ion, and it means this age. And we followed the ways of this world. The word for world is cosmos. I've shared that with you before. And it's the world system that is opposed to God. So we followed the ideologies of our culture. We as Christians are called out of that. We follow Jesus, right? We follow the truth, the word of God. This is Paul exposing to the church the way we were. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. We were spiritually dead, just trying to feed the flesh, you know, the desires of the flesh. Completely disconnected from God and totally focused on self and self-gratification. And when I say the flesh, that word for flesh is sarx, and it means our sin nature or our ego. You know, the pride of man is, I think, our biggest sin, right? Everything kind of falls under the pride. We think we're the captain of our own ship. We're in charge of our destiny. And that's mankind. Total depraved thinking is that I'm God. And what I do, look what I did. When it's God that is our creator. It's God that's sovereign over all. He talks about the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's Satan. You know, Satan's the one putting the ideas, well, I'll just say, like, in the people that own the media. The people that are godless, that they deny, you know, deny God, they deny the existence of Jesus, they deny the gospel, and they're super rich, and they own the world, right? We know about these people, that they do exist. And they have their own agenda. And that agenda is given to them by the spirit, or the small s, by the way, the spirit who is now at work, who is the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Isaiah 53:6 says this, we all like sheep, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. You know, there's three major ways the cosmos, the world works. One is humanism. That's, you're it, baby. It's all about you. Have it your way. Sound familiar? It's all about you. Make sure you take care of you. Get all you can, put it in the can, and sit on the lid. Make sure you are okay. Make sure you know, regardless, don't think about anybody else. It's humanism. You're the one, you're the captain, you're the most important person on the planet. That's humanism. Then it's materialism, right? Hey, drive this car and you'll get all the ladies. Have this credit card and you'll be happy finally. Look at all the trips you can take. And just charge it. It's constantly pumped into our culture. Materialism. If you have this, you'll be happy. We all know that that's not true. You might be happy for a minute. Hey, everybody likes a new car. But it gets old. And it doesn't truly fulfill anything in us. And it doesn't do anything to who we really are. material things do not heal your soul. Material things cannot fix self-esteem. In fact, money just magnifies who you really are. It just magnifies it. If you're a generous person, money will magnify that. If you're greedy and selfish, money will magnify that. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, how are we going to do that? See, but that's the mark. That's the mark that we miss, and it's Jesus solidifying what only he can do. You see, again, we're going to go over this, but it is by grace through faith in Jesus and his perfect life that he really did die for you and I in our place, took our sin upon him so that we could have life. Listen, we sin not because of what we do, but because of what we fail to do. And I'll put it to you like this, and it's a little confusing, but I think you can track with me. We aren't liars because we lie. We lie because we're liars. We're not haters because we hate. We hate because we're haters by nature. You understand that? It's our nature. So it's not what we do necessarily. It's what we fail to do. We fail to glorify God in everything we do and say and think. We fail to do that. So therefore, we sin. We're sinners. So let's get to the good part, the good news. Amen? I think I've beaten this up a little enough. Number two, salvation is by love. But because of his great love for us, God, and some of your Bibles say, but God. And I love that. We're like this, but God. You know, as for you, you're like this. As for you, sinner, but God. But because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We were the walking dead. Think about you at your worst. We talked about this in chapter 1, we talked about predestination. That God has predestined us to be in Christ. It's not a mistake that you're in church today. There's a whole bunch of other things that you could be doing. And yet you're here. He loves you. And that's what I'm going to hammer into us today. That God loves us. He loves you. And when he looks at his children, when he looks at us, he looks at us through the blood of Jesus. It's because of his love and his grace that he sees us as holy and blameless. His work His mercy, His grace. We didn't earn it. We can't lose it, and we didn't earn it. It was God in His love so generously poured out onto us that He would look at us, that He would look at me and go, I'm regenerating your heart. I'm drawing you towards me. You're mine. I've chosen you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to fill you with my Holy Spirit. And these words in this book that were so boring and meant nothing to you will heal your soul. They will lift you up. It will build your faith. It will make you strong. God says, I'll make you strong. Even as messy as we are, amen? He works in and through us. It's glorious. This scripture, I love the book of Ephesians, but like today I was like preparing this message going, man, this is good. So encouraging. Just by His love. So let's look at what He saved us from in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 8 and 9. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Chilly. Right? There's a price to pay for denying God, for going, no, you know what? I'm in charge. And what's funny is those very same people, and I was one, that I ain't no follower. Christians are just a bunch of sheep, and I'm a lion. I don't follow nobody. I'm a leader. You know, I lead myself. I'm not, but here's the truth. We're all following one spirit or another. If you're the captain of the ship and you're following yourself, you're following the spirit of the age. The devil. We're all following some idea, some ideology, and it's either the truth in Christ or it's the lie, the self, the pride. We're all created. Not creators. Not the creator. We are created. We're made in His image. So it's God that regenerates the dead heart. So no one can boast about it. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, the Lord will return, and sin will be judged, but He's patient, because He wants all of His to come in. That His heart is for every person to repent, to deny their own ego, to crucify that ego with Jesus. God, I'm not God, You are. I'm not in charge, I'm a steward. I'm a steward over what You've given me. And He's patient. He's patient with us. He's patient with humans in general. And His sovereignty, His sovereign love, and His sovereign grace allows for even His enemies to prosper in this life. That's love. That's a loving God. So number three, Salvation is into life. Because he made us alive with Christ. So I've chose Romans chapter 6, 4 through 10. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death, in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. This is good stuff. And this is what I believe, because we're leaky, right? We forget. We forget these things. And though we sin, though we still sin, Pastor Chris still misses the mark constantly. I am not a slave to it. I am no longer lost in my sin, just feeding the flesh, just more debauchery, more self, pleasure, self. I'm not a slave to that anymore. You're not a slave to that anymore. And I share that with you because you might be struggling with some sin in your life, like some serious, like sin that is bumming you out. I'm doing this and I know I shouldn't be, and yet I keep doing it. You have to remember, you have died with Christ. So you are no longer a slave to your flesh, to your sin nature. I would ask you, what are you filling your mind with? Because what you are filling your mind with is going to strengthen you. Like that example of a dog fight. Which dog's going to win? The dog that you feed more food. That dog's going to win the fight. So if the flesh and the spirit battle back and forth, right? We're like walking in the spirit 1 minute, and the next minute, boom. We're like, oop, I can't believe I said that. But the more that I purposely, intentionally take time to fill my mind with the Word of God, to join a Bible study, join a rooted group, join the foundations, the women's discipleship, the MAC meeting on Wednesday, the guys, the women's Bible study on Wednesdays. The more that I intentionally position my life to fill my mind with the truth, my mind is renewed, my heart and my spirit are strengthened, and I realize I'm not a slave to that, right? That's where that comes from. The strength of the Word of God begins to break that deception of, you know, I keep doing this and I don't want to do it, but I keep doing it. It's because we need to, the more that we fill our minds with the truth, the more that we experience the presence of God through his word, through community, in praying, because when two or more are gathered, there he is. It's in his presence that we find joy. It's in his presence that we find strength. And that's how we overcome the devil. Trust me, he knows scripture better than us, right? He's been around for a long time. It's he, and all he can do is tempt us. He's got the same game plan, and that's to deceive you and pull you away from God, from the truth, from other believers, so that you'll isolate and you'll just crumb on yourself. And he'll say, you shouldn't. Why would you even go to church, Baker? You're not real. Look at those people. They're happy. You're not. That's a lie from the pit of hell. We need to be, this is where our free will comes in. We have choices. And God has given us this earth to enjoy. But we need to enjoy it with him. When we make decisions in our life, is it going to glorify him? If I say this, will it glorify him? Help me with that, Lord. Is what I'm thinking glorifying God? Is it the truth? Or am I just marinating on my own feelings, am I concocting another story in my head that may or may not be true? We have to take those thoughts into the captivity, right? We have the authority. We sang it. We have the authority to take our thoughts captive and go, that ain't the truth. That ain't the truth. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop from nesting there. Amen. You don't have to nest and grow eggs, but you will have thoughts. Be prepared. Take it into the captivity of Jesus. What is true? What is good? What is right? Noble. Pure. Holy. You could, and I would just encourage you to go down a grateful list. In that moment, what is good about this? What can I think and meditate on that is good and true and right? That's our inheritance. That is drawing from an eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus. We are no longer slaves to our thoughts. Hallelujah. We're no longer slaves to our wicked desires, our selfish desires. We can actually overcome those because we're dead on the cross with Christ, which means we're alive in him. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. He, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, in glory, not needing anything from anyone to exist, to for anything, right? Everything is perfect, but there's love. And they want to share love, so they create man. And sovereignly knowing what's going to happen, there was already a plan for the Son to step out of glory and become a human. That wasn't plan B. That was plan A. And so Jesus stepped out of the glory, the richness that is the glory of God, and became a poor human. Feeling what we feel. Going through temptation, going through trials. I mean, to the point of death on the cross. He became poor for us so that we, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, would be rich in the spiritual, the things of God, that we would be rich in forgiveness, rich in the anointing, and just walking through life knowing God is present all around me right now. He says, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming and I'm blessed going. And that is not a prosperity message. We will go through life, but in that inheritance, we get to lean into hard times. I'm not up here telling you, you're going to be healthy and wealthy, baby. And it's this, your best life is now. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying your life that has been planned out by God through the ups and the downs, you can do it with Him. It means we can lean into hard times. God, I don't like this. You might as well be honest with Him. He already knows your heart. I do not like this. I don't understand this and I don't like it. But I'm trusting you. I'm going to stand on your word. I will stand on your promises, God. And whatever I need to learn through this hard time, let me learn it so I can grow, so I can come out the other side and go, wow, I'm stronger. I believe that you, I believe in you more. I think you're real and I know it. It's through the fire. That's where we grow. Amen. It's easy to say, you know, praise God. God is good, you know, and it's all good and that's good. But it's in the fire. And that's where we remind ourselves, I don't quit here. This is where I grow. And I can be honest with God with my feelings. I don't like this. I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. But I trust you. You, if you be for me, who could be against me? You said. And whether this works out for my benefit or it gets harder, God, I know there's a plan. So let me look like you when it's done. May I look more like you, Jesus, than I do now. Because I know that this is for a purpose. Nothing is in vain because you love me. Nothing is in vain. You love me. You're allowing me to go through this for something. Amen? May not understand it, but He does. So we trust His heart in those times where we can't see. Trust His heart. And we trust His promises and His word. Jesus sacrificed everything for us, for His glory and for our sake. So number four, salvation is with purpose. Chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show His incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God has raised us up spiritually in Christ so that we would bring Him glory with our redeemed lives, that our lives would encourage, convict, bless, and directly affect those around us, drawing them in towards God the Father, as even as messy as we can get. God uses us in and through us. The more revelation that we get of His love for us, I am loved by God. I'm not condemned. I've been risen spiritually from the dead. I've been risen and I am seated. Do you know that
We're seated. That word for seated, the Greek word is synkathizo. And it means to intimately sit down. I mean, we are now in Christ at the right hand of God, spiritually drawing from him his inheritance. Like, we're good. It can be, again, life is life, guys. If you're not going through a trial, there's one on its way. But be encouraged. One, and the most important thing, it ain't over. Like, when we die, okay? And that's probably, I would say, for a human, one of the most scary things that a human experiences, besides public speaking, is death. But we don't have to be afraid to die anymore. When it's your time, it'll be the best day ever for you. It sucks for all the rest of us down here because we're sad. We'll miss you. But when I die, it'll be like, woo! Man, you guys should be, man, wait till you are in the glory. That's what we have to look forward to. So even on the worst days, it's like, Lord, good days are coming. Good days are coming. We can look at the world, you know, the cosmos, and go, man, it's getting worse. You know, and if Jesus might come back, great. Come bring us home. We're to meet in the air. To be caught up. Either way, good days are coming. You know, we plant our flag on that. That should get us through. It's like, this is temporary. Everything right now is temporary. Enjoy it for what it is. Absolutely. There is purpose. We're here for a purpose, on purpose. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't want to run ahead of myself. God is faithfully at work in us and through us, ultimately bringing us, the sinners, to fulfillment in his glory for eternity. We've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We've been submerged. The Holy Spirit, if you are born again and you said, yes, Lord, be my Lord. Jesus, my life is no longer mine. It's yours. You know, teach me, grow me, sanctify me through this. He has filled you with his Holy Spirit, which means we are submerged and been baptized. We were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into his life. Like, we literally carry life, resurrected life within us. That's why he calls us the light of the world. That's why we're different. We're set apart, right? We're not like everybody else. We're just passing through. And so we've got that great gift, that great hope, the eternal life and love of Jesus Christ to share. And that takes us to the next thing. Oh, this is what I'm talking about with purpose. We have the purpose. That's number four. Our purpose here. God has put his love in you for you to deliver in the way that he has tailor-made your good works. And we'll talk about that. But it's for you. You share the love of God the way you do. It's different than me. It's different from your neighbor. And he's placed people in your life that you don't even know about yet for you to minister to, for you to love on, for you to show that God is good. God is good, and I am rich in his love. I am rich with his grace. I'm rich with his mercy. And so our purpose is to show people that. Not to just tell them, but to show them. Amen. Excuse me. You went out that wrong. Our lives preach louder. If your life, your deeds, the how you live and, excuse me, how you treat others speaks volumes over how much you know. It's good to have them both, amen? It's good to know the word, have that, you know, flowing off your tongue in your way. But it's really meaningless, right? Like clang, 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 clang. If your life doesn't line up with it, then it just makes you knowledgeable, a know-it-all, who doesn't care. And people don't care about that. So that's our purpose. Number five, through faith. Ooh, I better hurry. Salvation through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. He says it again, repeats it. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works. So no one can boast. You didn't earn it. You see, morality has different levels, right? We love to look at each other and go, well, I'm better than him. It doesn't matter, even, you know, good, even evil people. What did Jesus say? You who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall the Father give you of the Holy Spirit? We can look at each other at different levels of morality. Evil people, atheists can still do nice things, right? Man's problem is not whether or not he can do good things, whether or not he can live a life with high morals. It is in our, it is man's problem that we cannot live a holy life. We cannot live that holy, perfect life. Charles Spurgeon said this, a self-made man usually worships his creator, self, very earnestly. And your self-saved man glorifies him that saved him. Maybe I'm just beginning to be a couple minutes over. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 9 through 10. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. There's that predestination again. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Martin Luther said, God creates faith in the human heart the same way he created the world. He found nothing and created something. And the last one, and I'll let you guys go. Salvation is unto good works. So we aren't saved by our works, but guess what's happened? Guess what are the result of our salvation is this in verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That word for handiwork is poema. And it means poetic masterpiece. You are a work of art. You're a poetic masterpiece of God. God doesn't make junk and he don't make mistakes. So you are absolutely beautifully, wonderfully made Flawed? Yeah, we are. But we are children of God. Called for a purpose, made for a purpose, resurrected in Christ Jesus, filled with the power of God and the Holy Ghost, which makes us, we can call upon God's wisdom, discernment. God, give me peace. You said I could have peace, Jesus. Therefore, I hold on to that peace. Come hell or high water, you're in control. My faith will prevail. And let me be an example to those around me of what a real Christian looks like. Amen? Amen. The good in you is the God in you. Bring him glory with you, the life that you've been so graciously given. Amen? Let's bring him glory. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. All right. Well, I don't want to end a service without giving everybody an opportunity. You've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've said the prayer before, but your life just doesn't add up to it. You've heard the sermon today. God's drawing you to rededicate your heart. Let's do that today. It's nothing to be ashamed of, embarrassed of. Don't wait and don't hesitate. The prayer is a surrender. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the God you're surrendering to that does. Yahweh. But it starts with a surrender, and that's why I want to pray with you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ or you would like to rededicate your heart to him today, just raise your hand and we'll pray. Amen. I see your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, will you help us out? And this is a profession of faith, so we say this out loud. Just repeat after me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, change me. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I turn from my sin. And I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, shine your face upon your people. Remind us, God, that we are loved by you. We're not condemned. We're blessed. Lord, fill us all with your Holy Spirit this week and let us shine the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I ask you to bless your people as they go. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. See you next week.